Welcome to the podcast series from the EMN Slovakia 2022 National Conference entitled Dignified Labour Conditions as a Tool to Fight Modern Slavery, organized by the European Migration Network in Slovakia. You are listening to the presentation on labour exploitation and human trafficking from the perspective of a source country by Yarima Du. Yarima currently serves as the deputy head of the State Labour Service of Ukraine. Before that, he was a state secretary of the Ministry of Culture and Information Policy of Ukraine. In the past, he held executive position in the Ministry of Economic Development, Trade and Agriculture of Ukraine and the State Customs Service of Ukraine. Enjoy the presentation.
Thanks a lot for having us here. Thanks for the invitation and organizing this really important for us event. I'll try to explain shortly why it is really important for Ukraine. And I hope that together we can help each other, because that much support now and help that Ukraine receives from all of you, your member states and your countries, is unbelievable. And I hope that Ukraine also can do a lot of job, our homework back at home, so that these issues we are discussing at this conference will be dealt. So, first of all, what I'll talk about is about Ukraine. I hope that some of you, or maybe all of you, already had opportunity to visit Ukraine. If not, we invite you after we win the war. Maybe even the next stages, some of the stages of this conference will also can be held in Ukraine. After invasion, everything changed. So you see some numbers, but obviously they are dynamic. We have 40 million population country, but not all of them now live in Ukraine. So they had to flee their motherland because of military invasion of Russian Federation. And the amount of economy, so the numbers of employees is also astonishing as we see, because it's raising. The number of employees is raising in Ukraine. It was raising all the previous recent years, and that meant that the economy was growing, and that was good for us. Unfortunately, again, a lot of people, which are working population, is living in Ukraine, and this is also about their protection and their position, their legal rights in other countries. This is our State Labor Service of Ukraine. I'm not gonna deep dive in that. Just shortly to explain, the State Labor Body, State Labor Service of Ukraine, is not only the inspection. We have other functions, which are, for example, market supervision and mining supervision, which question also was held today twice. But again, the main thing we are doing right now is labor relations, obviously, and protecting people, protecting employees, and also supporting employers, because this is also important for us to maintain our economy. Human rights, human life, and human health is of the most importance. Believe me, we know what we are talking about. This is the most important thing you have to think every day. And priorities have to include that factor. So first of all, when we talk about solar energy, we talk about renewable energy, we understand that we have to go eco. But again, when we produce equipment for solar energy, we don't think about people that suffer. We don't think about their rights and their health and their everything, their life. I mean, people working in Africa days and nights without their rights, without proper healthcare and anything. They live their lives in those mines, and we have to think about that. And similar situation we have in Ukraine also, obviously, taking into account the situation and the military invasion. So that's why I'm going to talk about how we switched a bit from the normal regime of inspection work of our service to a bit different, because we take into account this, you know, the importance of things we have to do right now. So as inspection, so the word says for itself. You inspect, you go, you check to preserve and to restore the right if it's violated. As of now, we switched a bit to a different to a different workflow as the government took the decision to temporarily stop all the inspection functions of inspection bodies so that economic operators could also renew their work. First of all, we have to understand that a lot of businesses, a lot of workers, employees and employers had to leave the eastern parts of the Ukraine as, well, the shelling. We're not doing it possible to work there. So we started working on consultation and consulting and informing everybody. Doesn't matter if you're an employer or you are employee, you can call us, you can text us, we will contact you and we will support any type of question you are you need support in. So what we did, we developed a new portal, which is Pratsi in UA, which is like labor in UA translated. Pratsi is labor in Ukraine. So where all the frequently asked questions are, and believe me, frequently asked questions now is a different issue. So there is no like established amount of frequently asked questions because every day we have new questions. Depending on how dynamic the situation on the front line is. Also, we established the hotline. I would rather say the call center with few hotlines. Also, I know that IOM has established one. So the Ukrainian Labor Authority has established one, and also IOM Ukraine with support of IOM also established the hotline, which I think is 5. Thanks a lot. So people can reach out anytime 24/7, and that's important because believe me, usually they need you 24/7. It's at night and you cannot predict when the shelling starts. So people do ask a lot, they do outreach us a lot, and that's important thing. Everything about information, you have to also understand that people are of different age, they are of different, they are different users of technologies, and you have to provide them opportunities to knock on every door they can. So it's not only the website, it's social media, it's phone, you can go digital, you can go analog, because, again, people are different, and you have to provide the opportunity to contact you anytime. After we did that, we started the project of relocation. So we started relocating businesses, and with them, employers as establishers of the businesses, and also people as employees of those businesses. Again, some of them were preserved. We could preserve them in western regions of Ukraine, but some of them moved to Europe, EU member countries. I'm going to say Europe because we define ourselves as European country, and that's I think why the war takes place. What we saw from this project is that businesses needed support again, mostly in labor rights consulting. Because again, you saw what functions do we provide as a state service, but having to move fast, they had to move without sometimes, preserving all the legislation and all the rights of their employees, but they wanted to. So they outreached us and they were asking, for example, how do we do this? How do we transfer people? How do we do the paperwork? And the paperwork, I think, was the most important because, for example, if you live in Eastern City and you are employer of a company and you have rights to go to your work at, the address which you have contract signed for. But tomorrow the employer says, no, tomorrow you have to be in Western City because our company is moving. That's not in your contract. But again, the employers were trying to preserve the rights. They were trying to pay the salary because, again, you cannot cut down the person off it. People had to buy food, etc. So Ministry of Economy and the State Labor Service, so we decided to do this project. We were consulting whilst also trying to provide support in everything else. Logistics, reopening offices. So that's what we did in the first 2 months. But that's most the G2B approach. So this is your, where you work with business more, so employers. And the second approach was when we are trying to outreach physical person, which is like a citizen, yes? He is also an employer. But we also, now we see that every citizen is an employee. It's just some of them are employees already, some of them are potential. So we have to outreach them every day. And this is the informing company we started, launched also, by the way, with the IIM, which supported us. We developed video materials. We posted the information on the website. You'll see later on later slides, the billboards we also printed. So people, while driving and moving, fleeing from east to west, could see that everywhere. So these posters, these materials, these videos were, for example, in trains, on buses, on bus stops, in shelters, everywhere. So you could go there and, for example, shelters, the one of the most extraordinary we had was in Lviv City, which was the biggest one. It was Lviv football arena, where more than 10,000 people, I think, lived simultaneously at the same time. Sleeping just in the mattresses to the floor. So that's where we had to outreach them, give the booklets, give the printed materials, because we knew that some of them will flee further. They will go further to Europe. It was important for us so they could have those with them when they reach other European member states, so they could have that, they would know where to call, which website to go, who to contact. The second, again, question which was already raised today was the engagement of other authorities. And this is on the slide, by the way. We were talking about engaging police. Police is one of the, believe me, police is one of the most important bodies when you try to fight and combat slavery and human trafficking. We had an example with dogs when the labor inspector goes to the facility, for example, at 6 a.m. and there's the danger for his life and health. Believe me, we had videos where labor inspectors went to inspect a fuel station. And there's the video where the employees are running after, they are running away and people are running with sticks, trying to hit the labor inspector. Again, this is the example where we were trying to engage the migration service and the state tax service, because they also have a lot of information. The statistical information helps you to reveal a lot and to make a lot of conclusions where to look at. And that was also the approach. Again, this is the example where we were trying to inform, because I'm trying to lead there. This is almost everything we can do right now. The next part of our job, as we see it, is to interact with authorities of countries where Ukrainian citizens are fleeing to. And then I think that that's going to be the next part of presentation and our job. Again, just an example of materials we are trying to provide to make them user-friendly, so people, everyone, even children, if they are lost or something, they would know where to go. They would remember this, and they would know how to act, and we could help them. Again, the billboards, almost everything we did was, you know, informing, because that was most important. In terms of supporting those businesses, employers, and employees which were already relocated, we established another option of our support. We were sending our labor inspectors, but not to inspect, but to support. So the labor inspector would go to the economic operator, sit with, I don't know, the head of HR, doesn't matter, if the person has questions. And the labor inspector would go through all the documents, all the paperwork, all the possible violations that might have place, and then provide a paper, non-official paper, like a consultation, which the employer could use to save the situation, to prevent the violation. And this is the most important thing, because again, you know, finding out about violation, and I had that question, by the way, again, finding out about the violation and then trying to restore the right is it's out of time already. So again, it's harder, it's more difficult. It's better to prevent, and this is the approach we're trying to undertake. Yeah, this is another example, and I'm gonna talk about before the video goes. We also talked about human trafficking and violations on slavery, labor, and what we also see is that when you prevent, when you work on a declared labor, you also have instruments to fight slavery and human trafficking. So first of all, you have to get the information. When you're trying to fight undeclared labor, you just define where the risks, where people might be mostly concentrated, which companies can do that, which companies can undeclare their employees. When they undeclare their employees in Ukraine, there is the possibility they will try to send them to other countries abroad, and believe me, I'm not sure they are gonna declare them in that countries, and that labor will be declared. I think that also their job in foreign countries will be undeclared, and that's where the slavery and human trafficking starts. So again, another example of materials we're trying to develop to inform people they should go official. Employees have to understand that if they work unofficially, their rights are already violated. But again, to what extent they will be violated, no one knows. Nobody knows. So they have to start from the beginning. They have to refuse working if they can unofficially. So their relations with their employer have to be on paper. So again, it's short, it's informative. You have two links. You just go and you have a phone number for a hotline. You can call, you can ask, and you can, you know, you can receive the support you need, and that might save your health, life, and rights. Again, protection, which is also important. We didn't understand, I think, that before 24th of February, but the psychological support and first aid is another project we had in Ukraine. So we understood that the labor inspector doesn't just have to be the inspector. Inspector itself in Ukraine, you know, is not the popular word. It's I don't know if it's common for all the countries, but when you say inspector, this already means some negativity, because the person would go and find your violations. Nobody wants this, because this means fees, this means, I don't know, sanctions, etc., etc. So who would like the inspector? So we're trying to explain our employees, as an employer, that we have to work on ourselves. So we have to do our homework first, to expect from someone to do it as well. So we had 10 online and 5 offline trainings for 300 of our inspectors to prepare them for the communication with employers and employees in terms of psychological first aid and support. And that had a good outcome, believe me, because when I first time heard how inspectors try to communicate with businesses, well, employers usually just hang the phone in like 5 to 10 seconds. So, hello, this is Inspector Yarema. I'm calling you for beep, 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 beep. Employer just hangs up the phone because they don't expect that you call them to support them. They expect that you call them to inspect, to reveal their violations. And again, this approach, I think, helps us to change the understanding of people and change their expectations from the state labor service of Ukraine. And then goes the international cooperation. And this, I think, where we have to work the most. I mean, in terms of Ukraine and our cooperation with all the EU member states and other countries. Because again, people usually don't stay in the same place. If people become refugees, they move. Sometimes it takes years till they settle down and they just, you know, officially declare until they officially make all the paperwork. So what we're thinking about is also to providing and delivering informing campaigns also in EU member states or other countries where Ukrainian citizens are fleeing to, because of the military intervention. Why we think that would help is because not only those people who are abroad and their labor rights are violated, they are used as in slavery labor, and they are subject to human trafficking. Those people usually also at some point communicate with their relatives in Ukraine, and that's where the relatives can ring the bell. They can contact the State Labor Service of Ukraine, and the international cooperation could provide the revealing. So if the State Labor Service of Ukraine knows of a violation, we could go for international cooperation. The Ukrainian State Labor Service would contact the State Labor Service of the country where the violation took place, and then the inspector of the country could go inspect and, you know, reveal the violation, and the sanctions take place. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not pretty sure how it's done and how fast we can do that, but we are really, really open for that. And I think that this kind of conferences is the starting point. I think we can continue in this route, and I think this is where we can start this cooperation, and that's where we can also help and support. Because again, we understand that this is our citizens. This is our pain. It's hard to express in words to you how difficult it is for us. And this is our also problem. If our citizens are being violated, this is not only economical problem, and this is not only law violation in the country abroad. This is also our problem. This is why we want to support, to cooperate, and to get to the end point where we all end finally the slavery and human trafficking. I'm going to be short. I want to finish this. I think I have a few minutes left. Yeah, for the floor, if there are any questions. So thanks.
This presentation was part of the 2022 EMN Slovakia National Conference. The conference was organized by the International Organization for Migration Slovakia as the coordinator of the Slovak EMN National Contact Point. The European Migration Network is funded by the European Union and co-funded by the Ministry of Interior of the Slovak Republic. Thank you for listening.